Praise the Lord. Good morning, family. And to any visitors, good to have everyone here today. I'm going to open up in prayer and just trust the Lord to speak to us through his word. He is so faithful and steadfast and permanent, and he doesn't change. And I am so thankful for that. God, my Father, I just thank you so much for choosing us to be your children, choosing us to be born of you, of God. Thank you for calling us out of the world and the thinking of the world. Not that we're better than anyone, but you've called us into a relationship with you. And God, we need to hear from you. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me, that you would use my lips, and just that your power would go forth to change according to your word, to set captives free, to open blind eyes, to bring conviction, to bring hope, repentance. For God, sanctify us through your truth. We don't want opinions. We don't need opinions. We need truth. And your word is truth, God. So help us to hear well and to be doers of your word, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I'm going to read from Galatians chapter 6, but I'm really going to focus on the first three verses. And I'm going to give a little bit of very basic, simple commentary on this. And then from there, there's a biblical principle within these three verses that I'm going to expound on a bit. We're going to broaden and share from that principle. But I'm going to share a little bit of the context of what the Holy Spirit was speaking through Paul. And it's encouraging to me because it's some of what Pastor shared right before worship. So Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Brothers, you can say, or sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression or overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So in verse 1, it says, if anyone's overtaken in a trespass. So the Believer's Bible Commentary says this describes a man, again, you could say a woman, it's not gender specific on this, who has committed an act of sin rather than one who is habitually sinful. So if there's a believer who has sinned, the Word of God tells us here to restore him in the spirit of gentleness. The unregenerate heart or an immature believer may be harsh and stern when God is calling for a moment of gentleness and that restoration. The spirit of gentleness. And in verse 2, he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So to bear means to lift up, to endure, to carry, and to take up. Burden is a weight. It can refer to failures, temptations, testings, and trials. So God is telling us to bear with one another's burdens, bear with one another's shortcomings. Whether that's a moral failure, he or she has an act of sin and was wrong, the Word of God tells us to bear with him, to bear with her. Praise God, he's the creator, but he's so lowly and patient and kind toward us. And I'm thankful for verse 3. It's like God knows how to keep us in check. Because the human heart, we can have a tendency to see ourselves better than others. You know, like Pastor shared, some people have been in sin, and hopefully they choose to repent, but we're no better than any of them. And verse 3 is like God just inserts this reminder, hey, when you're correcting someone, you who are spiritual, who are regenerate, born again, spiritually mature, when you're correcting him, do it in the spirit of gentleness. Bear him, bear her flaws, lift them up, take them into your own heart. But verse 3 is really, it's like God just keeping us in check. It says, for if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. One commentary said, regarding this verse, we are all made out of the same dust. When we see a brother sin, we should remember that it might have been ourselves. For a Christian to have a superiority complex is a form of self-deception. Praise the Lord for that. It's like God saying, yeah, show mercy, and someone's wrong, you know, restore him, point him or her back to Jesus. There may be a word of correction, point him to Jesus, but don't think you're better than him. Don't think you're better than her. That could be you. It's like God keeping us in check to remember it's not us. We're not, you know, the morality police. You know, we have to go back to the cross to remember who we were and who we are now. Praise God for that. I'm going to read or just some things from Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. If we have this in mind, who we were, it'll help us as we're correcting the faults of others or as we're restoring others and bearing their burdens. We have to remember who we were. It says, and he in you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So we were all dead, spiritually dead. There was no spiritual life in us in God's perspective. You can go to verse 2, please. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. We were sons of disobedience. You were a son or a daughter of disobedience. That's who we were by our nature. We were born in sin. So when we're correcting others, we need to remember, I am no better than him. I am no better than her. I have a new nature now. I'm born again, a new identity. But help me to do this in a spirit of gentleness, restoring him, restoring her to Jesus Christ. In verse 3, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So let's remember that. Again, in the context of this passage, the Lord is teaching us when we're restoring to do it in a spirit of gentleness. And it's not just tolerating someone, it's bearing with them. It's lifting him or her up out of where they are, whether it's discouragement, depression, a moral failure of sin, lifting them up, bearing them, taking them into our heart, taking them to Jesus, really. But it's in a spirit of gentleness. And then remembering that could be me. Matter of fact, that was me. That lowliness, that's what will draw people to Christ. It's not about my self-righteous judgment and critical spirit, which I and many of us deal with. But thank God for a new life. We can humble ourselves and trust the Lord. So, like I said, there's one principle in here that is a principle throughout the Word of God that I want to share on today. But it's important to give the proper context of that section of Scripture. And oh, I do want to say this before we move on. Bearing with one another, that's what we're going to talk about. Bearing with one another's burdens. Bearing one another's burdens. Bearing one another in our hearts. that does not mean that we tolerate or allow ongoing non-repentant sin. Okay? Bearing with someone doesn't mean, you know what, she's been in this sin for months and, you know, I'm just going to let it go. I'm just going to ignore it and just trust that she's going to be okay. No. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we're called to admonish the undisciplined. So we're called to admonish. The word of God in 2 Timothy 3:16, the word of God is profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correction. So there will be correction. There will be rebuke and teaching. That's part of God's design. And lastly, parents, fathers are to bring up their children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So there is correction. Does everybody understand that and hear that? But what's the heart behind it? We're not superior. We're not superior to anyone. That could be us. We're to restore in a spirit of gentleness. Praise God for that. So this principle, bear one another's burdens. Bear another's burdens. In 1 Corinthians 13:7, it says, bear one another. Love bears all things. So what does that mean to bear one another in love? Well, do you have burdens? Do you carry burdens with you throughout the day? Burdens that you want freedom from? Things on your heart that are distressing or tempting to you? Don't you need someone to help you and give you relief from that? Yes, we all do. And that person is Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's available to take your burdens. He's asking you to give him your burdens. But also, as the body of Christ, as we grow and mature in our faith, we are called to love. We are called to lay our lives down. We are called to step into someone else, his burden, and take him into our own heart to the Lord. We're not called to live a life for ourselves anymore. As we grow and mature, it's not about us. It's not about living for my will, my ambitions. It's about pleasing the Lord. And thank God that he doesn't let us stay where we were. He's calling us to another level of faith, which will bring another level of surrender and obedience. But also, that's going to bring more fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because I believe Glenn said on Wednesday that obedience to the Lord will produce the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is amazing. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Don't we want the fruit of the Spirit? If I don't have the fruit of the Spirit cultivating in my life, am I really going to enter into someone's needs with the Spirit of God and bear him to the Lord? Am I going to be willing to do that? Am I going to be able to do that? No, because it's not about me and my efforts. God wants us to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not going to focus on this, but I do want to say one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. I've been seeing recently the fruit of the Spirit kind of like a little, like a compass or a map. And if I'm noticing I'm really not having the fruit of the Spirit, not experiencing them, the peace, the love, joy, patience, then I am in my own thinking and in my flesh. If I am yielded to the Spirit of God, if I'm surrendered and obeying him, then I'm going to be bearing that fruit. So if you're not tasting that fruit in your life, don't beat yourself up and be discouraged. There is hope in that to say, okay, I'm in my own thinking. I'm not seeing you correctly, Lord. I need to come under your yoke. I need to come under your thinking because God wants you to bear that fruit. But again, it's not only for you. It's so that you will be willing to enter the needs of others and bear their burden to the Lord. That's what God's called us to do. In a sense, to be burden bearers. to enter into the needs of others and to bear their burden to the Lord. Praise God for that. I'm going to read a definition. It's kind of a long definition. Many of you have heard this. It's from the Mercy Studies by Rex Andrews. And this is a definition of mercy, but it's so beautiful. Mercy is God's supply system for every need, everywhere. Mercy is that kindness, compassion, and tenderness, which is a passion to suffer with or participate in another's ills or evils in order to relieve, to heal, and to restore. Isn't that amazing? That's love, but that's divine love. That's impossible in human effort. It accepts another freely and gladly as he is and supplies the needed good of life to build up and to bring to peace and keep in peace. I want to insert, it accepts someone how he or she is, but it builds them up in Christ. So there will be some truth. There will be some correction. So I don't want us to misinterpret that. God brings change. Repentance brings change. It is to take another into one's heart just as he is and cherish and nourish him there. Mercy takes another's sins and evils and faults as its own and frees the other by bearing them to God. Now, do we do that naturally? No way. We don't. No way. That's Jesus. So how do we love in this way? How do we bear each other's burdens? I'm going to share just a few different things with some beautiful scriptures, and we're just going to trust God to move through his word. So this is what God is calling us to bear one another's burdens, both in the body, but those that are lost and are hurting outside of the body. So one way is to see mercy. To see mercy. And how do we see mercy? We look to Jesus. So I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And Pastor actually shared from verse 1, I believe. I just gave the Levi verse 2, but I changed it on him. All right, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So how do we get that merciful heart? How do we learn to bear others' burdens? We see mercy. Therefore, we see Jesus. We were children of wrath. We were sons of disobedience. But he suffered and died on the cross. And that's God's mercy. We're going to go to Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 6. Brian, I believe, read from some of this. But if we want to see mercy, we need to see Jesus. That's mercy. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We need to remind ourselves throughout the day and throughout the weeks that in ourselves, we're not good people. The Bible says no one is good. No one understands. No one seeks for God. That's a truth from the throne of heaven. No one is good. But God sent Jesus Christ to die for us so that we could have relationship with him. He's so merciful for that. So we need to see mercy. We need to see Jesus. So I'm going to read Isaiah 53, 3 through 6. He, Jesus, was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So how are we going to have a merciful heart? It's to look at Jesus. It's to see mercy. It's to see Jesus. He's the author. He's the beginner. He's the finisher of our faith. So if we're going to live a life of faith where we're bearing others' burdens throughout the day, in the morning quiet time, when we're doing well and when we don't do well, we've got to look to Jesus. That's essential to our faith. Essential to our faith. There's no other way to persevere through the trials of life other than keeping our eyes and our eyes of faith fixed upon Jesus Christ. There's no way. Because the natural bent is towards self. We all face failures. We all fail in some ways. Again, that can mean morally. That can mean in our God-given responsibilities and relationships. We're going to miss it. We're not perfect. We don't have it all together. And when that happens, if we stay focused on ourselves and on our failure, then we're not going to be burden bearers like God has called us to. We're not going to have the fruit of joy and peace and patience in our hearts flowing through us like God wants us to. We have to look to Jesus. To bear others' burdens, we've got to keep our eyes focused on Christ. I mean, I'm telling you what, there's no way to live this life of faith if you don't keep your eyes focused on Jesus. We fluctuate. We waver. Our hearts are all over the place sometimes. I'm telling you, I'm speaking from experience recently, like this morning. But it's like, okay, Lord, if I look at my own competency, if I look at my own abilities or inabilities, then I'm going to be in pride, and there's no way I'm going to step out and do what you've called me to do. So if you've failed in any area of life, if there needs to be repentance, look to the Lord, confess, and repent. But receive forgiveness and look to Jesus and step out in faith. It's not about having it all together. It's about trusting the Lord. Because our competency is not in ourselves. It's from God. He is He's a rock. We can trust him. He's stable. He's invisible, but he's real. This word is solid. This word is eternal. So let's be people of faith, looking to Jesus and standing on the word of God. He's so faithful. He wants you to step out in faith. He wants you to step out in faith and trust him in any area of life. But we've got to look to Jesus. We won't do it if we're looking at ourselves. We won't do it if we're looking at our success or our failures. It's got to be gazing upon Christ. He is the vine. He is the vine. We are the branch. He is calling us to be rooted in the vine, to be rooted and grounded in love. And that comes through spending time in his word. That comes through meditating on his word. It comes through surrender and obedience to his word. Because he's calling us not to be complacent, not to stay where we are. He's wanting growth. It's not only about growth in doing things, stepping out and doing things, but it's growth in our character. It's letting the fruit of the Spirit be developed in our character. In Romans 5, he talks about we rejoice in our suffering because suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. But the only way to endure, the only way to rejoice in suffering is to look to Jesus, to get our eyes off of ourselves and to focus on him. Even when we've fallen short, even when we've failed, look to Jesus. Repent, repent well, and part of that is looking to Christ. Amen. Looking to Christ and staying fixed on him. Praise God that he's given us that. Because we're weak. We really are weak. But he is strong. His grace is sufficient. So we get a merciful heart. We bear others' burdens by seeing mercy. And that's looking to Jesus. But also, we bear others' burdens by praying mercy. Praying mercy for others. It's easy to get caught in our own thinking and our own minds, especially when we're seeing our inadequacies. What a great opportunity to start thanking the Lord and to start praying for someone else. Do you want to bear others' burdens? Do you want to enter into the pain, the struggle that others have? Pray for them. Pray for him. Pray for her. God is so faithful to move through prayer. I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 5, 14 through 15. You can turn there. You don't have to. This is about praying. And this is the confidence that we have toward him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. So essentially, if we're praying according to God's will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we have what we've asked for. Now, does that always come the way we think it should come or want it to come? No. But we can pray mercy and pray in faith for others. God is calling us to bear others' burdens. I had a brother this morning text me. He's not part of this body, but just texted me to encourage me. And we were both able to share kind of some of our struggles or whatever and to pray for each other. I said I'd pray for him, he'd pray for me. And it's like, praise God, he was entering into my need and it gave me some encouragement that really helped me this morning. So don't make light of prayer. The way you can bear others' burdens by praying for them. You don't have to always be doing something. You can just lift them up in prayer. Father, I thank you for my friend, and I just thank you, Lord. Just give him grace right now, Lord. Just give him grace to endure. Give him grace to look to Jesus. God, fill him with your Holy Spirit. God, make him poor in spirit. God, encourage him in his faith. God, surround him with men and women of God. Lord, thank you for using his life. Lord, thank you for giving him grace to say no to temptation. Lord, thank you for using him to point others to Jesus. God, you're so faithful. Praise the Lord. Just praying mercy for someone, getting our eyes off of ourselves. That's what God is calling us to bear others' burdens through prayer. Through seeing mercy, looking to Jesus, through praying mercy, praying for others. And part of that is when we pray, believing that God hears and believing that there's power in prayer. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy or pull down strongholds. So you may be praying for someone right now and not seeing any change. Or you may pray and wonder, is this even doing anything? Well, we've got to trust the word of God. Are you praying for fire and brimstone to come down on her? Or are you praying for her to have repentance? Are you praying for her to know Jesus? We know those things are God's will. If you're praying that, then he hears you. And you can also go to 2 Corinthians 10:4, say the weapons of my warfare have divine power to pull down strongholds. Lord, I don't see it. Lord, I don't feel it. I don't always understand prayer. I can't see you, but in faith, you're pulling down strongholds. God, pull down that stronghold in his mind. God, help him to see the goodness of God. And you just pray in faith. Enter into that burden. Lift him up before the Lord. God is so good. He's so good. Amen. And then also we can do mercy. I know many of us are familiar with that from Pure Life. And we have to be careful with that. Doing. It can be easy to try to get our identity from doing things, especially from someone that's very performance-oriented and not trusting God in that way, as I still get into. But God has called us to love. He's called us to love one another. So a way to bear others' burdens is to do mercy. And that can look like a variety of ways. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. So how are we serving others? How are we coming under and serving him? How are we serving her? What does he need? Am I seeking to understand, or am I just judging him real quickly? Am I trying to understand, you know, what he's experienced? What has he gone through? Why could he be acting this way? To get into that need and do mercy, be a listening ear, speak some truth in love, restore him in the spirit of gentleness. There's so many ways to do mercy. My friend did that to me this morning through that text. It can be through serving someone. There's a variety of ways. Serving out at the housing authority, serving your family, but it's doing mercy. It's getting out of our own minds, out of our own comforts, and doing the same mercy that's been shown to us to others. God has called us to bear others' burdens, and one way of that is by doing mercy. We see mercy by looking to Jesus, we pray mercy for others, and we do mercy. In Galatians 5:6, it says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but faith working through love." So again, what is motivating my actions? Am I doing because I think people need me? Am I doing to try to earn God's approval? Or am I doing acts of mercy because I've seen the love of God, because I believe the love of God, and I know I'm called to share the love of God with other people? So praise God. We can check our motives. Okay, Lord, seems like I'm just in the flesh. If I'm stressed, okay, Lord, I'm just a little, let me take a step back. Lord, help me to love my brother. Lord, give me grace to deny myself. Because a life of mercy, bearing others' burdens, will take self-denial. It will take denying yourself. That's what love takes, sacrifice. But if it's rooted in the love of God, if you've seen the love of God for you, then it's worth the sacrifice. The focus is on Jesus and the other person, not our own discomforts. And that's what God has called us to, church. He's calling us to be people with a merciful heart, people willing to bear the burdens of others. But it cannot happen in our own strength. It's going to come as we look to Jesus, as we see our need, and as we see his great provision on the cross. It's going to come as we take up others' burdens in prayer and pray for someone, whether it's a minute, 10 minutes, or 30 minutes, interceding for others before the throne of God. And as we do acts of mercy, God is so faithful. But I do want to share, there are some hindrances to bearing others' burdens, and which we're all probably, most of us, aware of. But pride, selfishness, the world, a critical spirit, self-righteousness, these mindsets stop us from extending the mercy that we've been shown. These mindsets hinder us from entering into someone else's need and bearing his or her burden before the Lord, entering into that need. So we have to be in the Word daily. We have to be in fellowship. We have to be accountable so that we can judge ourselves according to the Word of God and that we can have a merciful heart to share it with others. But on the other side, sometimes we don't want to get rid of our burdens. Sometimes we don't trust God with our burdens. And if we're going to trust God, at times that's going to mean trusting others. walls of self-protection, protecting our image, that we have it all together, our reputation. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And again, in Galatians 6:2, it said, bear one another's burdens. So we all, at times, carry burdens. Every single human. God wants you to give him your burden. God doesn't want you to carry. He wants to help you. He wants you to give him your burden. But you've got to be real with him. You've got to humble yourself. You've got to be honest with him. And often that's going to mean being vulnerable with those in the body of Christ, people you trust. God wants us to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. He wants freedom. He wants liberty in your mind and in your heart. But you and I have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I don't have it together. Lord, I give you my burden. And if there's a brother or sister to share with and confide in, take that if you need to. If the Lord's leading you, do that. And honestly, we see that in this body. Praise God. We see that in this body. We see people humbling themselves when they're struggling or when they've sinned or when they've just fallen short in another area or when they're battling in their thinking. So God is using this body to bear one another's burdens. But he's calling us to do it even more consistently, to be filled more and more with the Holy Spirit, to be bearing more and more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because people in this body at times are hurting, but so are people outside of this body that God is calling us to. And he's calling us to bear their burdens. But we cannot do it in our own strength. There's going to be needs that you see, that I see, that are not necessarily for you to meet. That's why it's important to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be in the Word. Because if we try to do it in our own strength, we'll burn out. They don't need more of me. Apart from Christ, and we abide in the vine, John 15, we can do nothing. So we need wisdom, we need discernment. There's burdens here in this body. There's burdens that people carry outside these doors. But just trust the Lord to give you wisdom as you take time in his word, as you see Jesus, as you pray mercy and do mercy. Trust him to lead you to the people that you're called to serve and bear their burdens. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. God wants you to cast your burden to him. He doesn't have to, but what a loving heavenly Father. In the commentary, there's a guy named Bishop Horn. He says, he who once bore the burden of our sins and sorrows requests that we should now and ever permit him to bear the burden of our cares. Jesus bore our rebellion. He bore the punishment that we deserved. But he is also wanting to bear your cares. He's wanting to bear the cares and the concerns on your heart. He's such a loving God. But we have to humble ourselves before him and take that step to give it to him. And to be willing to confide in others. Like in James 5:16, talks about confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. There's healing. There's healing and giving that burden, confessing to the Lord and to one another. God is so faithful. So I'm going to close, but I just want to encourage us that, well, life is not about me. Life is not about us. Life is not about being comfortable. Jesus is our example. He came, the Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh. He gave up his rights, born as a baby, and lived a sinless and perfect life. And he died on the cross to redeem mankind. He went, rose from the dead, and sat at the right hand of the Father. And the Father sent the Holy Spirit. If you're a born-again believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And our lives are not our own. Our lives are not our own. Our lives, we've been redeemed with the precious and spotless blood of the Lamb. Amen. So what am I doing with my life? What are we doing with our life? Are we living for ourselves and comfortable and in our own little world? Or are we following Jesus? Are we pursuing after God? Is he the treasure that we're willing to sell all for? Because if so, then we're going to follow him and we're going to be willing to lay down our lives and to bear the burdens of others. That's what God is calling us to do as a body. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And I'm going to close with two scriptures in John chapter 13, 34 through 35. But before I read these scriptures, I want to reiterate that it's not all about doing. This message is not just, let's go do a bunch of things, let's go bear people's burdens. The most important thing is to love God. We must see Jesus. We must gaze at Christ. We must look to Christ. We must abide in Christ. How do you abide in Christ? What does that look like to you? Because it's from that place of faith and surrender and obedience, that we're going to step out and enter into the needs of others, to take another's sins, to welcome him right where he is, to take his sins into my own heart and to bear that in prayer to the Lord, to not judge him, but to intercede for him, to not criticize him and stand at a distance, but to enter in and to show him love and mercy. That will only happen, and you will only have the power of the Holy Spirit if you are abiding in Christ. The flesh profits nothing. This is not about making us better people or hyping us up to do more works. We're to abide in Christ, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, and to bear others' burdens. I'm going to read this in closing. John 13, 34 through 35. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Father, I thank you so much, God, that while we were sinners, rebels, disobedient, in unbelief, Christ truly came and died, suffered, bore our iniquities on a cross. We don't have to feel that, but we believe it in faith. You saved us from hell. You saved us from ourselves. You saved us from fear and unbelief. You're so faithful, God. And Lord, I just pray that you would keep pointing us to Jesus. Help us to remember who Jesus is. Help us to remember the cross. Help us to look to you, Father. But God, help us to follow Jesus, to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. Help us to enter into the needs of others through prayer, to enter into the needs of others through doing mercy, God. And God, make us full of the Holy Spirit. God, help us to cultivate the fruit of the Holy Spirit so that you can be glorified, God. I thank you for pulling down strongholds in our thinking, God. You're doing that in our lives. Thank you, God, that when we know the truth will set us free as we abide in the Word. And Lord, I just pray that your Word would go forth, that it would get deeply rooted in our hearts, Lord, that we would take what we've heard and we would trust you, that we would apply this Word, and that we would bear good fruit, that you could be glorified. So Lord, I just bless you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't really have a lot for a closing. I don't know if Pastor, if there's anything you would want to... Yeah, okay. Yeah. So Pastor just mentioned, just sensing that, I mean, we all carry burdens at times. And this is a family. So if anyone has a burden that you haven't given to the Lord in faith, that you've been carrying, and it's heavy, and you need someone to come alongside and help lift that burden to hold you up, I'm just going to ask that you take a step of faith, come on down to this area down here where the altar is, and just, we're going to have someone pray for you. Don't have to be ashamed. It's what we do. God gives grace to the humble. He's so faithful. So this is an opportunity. Any burden on your heart, whether it's for you, it could even be for a loved one, a burden, someone you've been praying for, or someone that you, there's just a burden and you need wisdom, you need guidance, you need encouragement. This is an opportunity to come down to the altar and allow someone to pray with you and to join with you and to help bear that burden. So I'm just going to ask, we're going to take whatever, however long, but a few minutes. And this altar is open. If you want to come down here, it can be just you and the Lord, or you can have someone join in with you and just take that step of faith. But carry this forward. As you step out today, carry this forward. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Father.